Lord God, thank you for Tom. Thank you for his heart for you and the time he's put into preparing the talk this morning. I just pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the message that you have for us today. Amen.
Amen. Cool. Hello. My name is Tom, as has been said. I'm part of the team here at Highgrove, and I'm continuing this series that we're looking at all through September called This Time Tomorrow. Now, Ed kicked it off last week looking at why our work matters and kind of setting the foundations for the whole rest of the series. If you missed it, do catch up on highgrove.church/talks, but I'm just going to give a brief overview because he gave these 3 points. And when we talk about work, I just need to preface it with this. We're not saying that it's necessarily a job, although for many of us, our work is a job that we do, maybe paid or voluntary. For some people, it's being a full-time parent. For some people, it's being a student. For some people, it's being a carer or a trustee of a charity or a volunteer somewhere. Work looks different for each of us. But Ed made the point that our work matters for 3 reasons. Firstly, we imitate God, who himself is a worker. He worked in creation to make everything that we see. Our work matters because we fulfill his first commission that he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, be fruitful. He told them to make society, to build cities, to be creative, to make things, to make people. And so our work matters because we're continuing to do that job that God told us to. And finally, our work matters because it can last into eternity. I've made the point that at the end of the age, when Jesus comes again, the heavens and the earth aren't going to be destroyed. They're going to be made new. They're going to be renewed. And so there's an element of what we work for that can last into eternity, that can last to be with us in eternity. And I find that really encouraging. Hopefully all of those are encouraging for why your work matters. And I'm just going to add one more on this week, which is this. Your work matters because it can bring pleasure and glory to God. Now, if that's the only thing that you walk away with this morning, having remembered, that'll be a success in my mind. But we're going to go on the journey. I'm going to explain why I think that your work matters and actually apply it, because for each of us, that's going to look different in our work contexts. So, before I get onto that, though, I want to do a little bit of a quiz. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, you might be at school, you might be at work or with family or friends, and they're using words or phrases or acronyms that you just don't understand. Have you been in that situation? I certainly have been. I've been in meetings at work where I just don't understand what they're talking about. I don't understand the key phrase, and so it just means nothing to me. So we're going to have an acronym quiz. Woo! An acronym is something like LOL, laugh out loud, where each of the letters usually stands for another word. So I want you to turn to the people around you, and this is going to be quick. You're going to have a minute and a half to come up with what these acronyms stand for. You might want to write it on your phone. You'll be judging your own work, but off you go. One minute left. Last 30 seconds. Seconds. three, two, one. Put your pens down. I know you don't have pens, probably, but hopefully you've been taking a note of them. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to mark the quiz. But here we go with the answers. BBC, you know it, you love it. British Broadcasting Corporation. AWS stands for Amazon Web Services. My day-to-day job is as a software engineer. I work on websites, and so I'm very familiar with Amazon Web Services. NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. EOD is end of day. I know Rosie was saying that actually it could be every other day, but no, Quizmaster is right, end of day. B2C is business to consumer, as opposed to B2B, business to business. BRB, hopefully most of you got that, be right back. POTUS is the president of the US. SONAR is sound, the S and the O meaning sound, navigation and ranging. SWOT, you might have done a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. And the NIV is the new international version, nothing to do with business at all. It's the translation of the Bible that we use here at Highgrove. So why all of those acronyms? Why did I want to talk about that? Because if you don't know what the acronym means, if you don't know what the word means, then you can't engage in the conversation fully. And what I'm going to do now is talk about a really churchy word. And if you're not familiar with what it means, it's not going to mean anything to you. The whole of the rest of the sermon is going to be alien to you. And what I'm going to be talking about is worship. We use it a lot at church, and often, myself included, we can be guilty of saying we're going into a time of worship, meaning singing. But worship isn't just singing. So what is it? Well, it comes from an old English word, worthskype. Might not have pronounced that right, but I'm not an old English person. and it means to acknowledge worth. Thanks, Paul. nowadays, the definition is to have or show a strong feeling of respect or admiration for a god or a god. And I think songs have a part to do with that. Like, just think of the number of love songs that there are in the world. It's because music and singing and poetry is a wonderful way of expressing that love and admiration and respect. But if we stop there, then we do God a disservice. Because of the lengths that Jesus went through for us, because we were dead in our sin, the wrongdoing, the rebellion that we'd done, it created such separation from God, and we needed God to take the initiative. So he sent Jesus to die in our place, to take our punishment that we deserve. And he raised him up to eternal life, giving us the hope for eternity. Isn't that worth more than just a song? Isn't that worth more than the lip service? And so that's where worship is far more than songs. It requires our whole lives. That's why in Romans 12, Paul says about, in view of God's mercy, that is, in view of everything God has done for us, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. As the Message translation puts it, I'll paraphrase, it says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Worship is about taking everything that we are, every moment of our lives, and offering back to God for what he's done for us. Now, that's all well and good, but how does it relate to work? And I think sort of having this idea of worship being showing feelings of love and admiration can be difficult to connect to your work. Maybe how does it relate to sending an email? How does it relate to seeing this client or this patient? How does it relate to doing this piece of homework? This is where Rick Warren's definition of worship can be quite helpful, I think. He defines worship as bringing pleasure to God, pleasing God, making God smile, bringing joy to God. That is what worship is. And I can relate that far more easily to my work. I can think of ways, specific ways that as I go about my work, the way that I do it or what I do can bring pleasure to God. this guy, Eric Liddell, famously known the Olympian who decided not to run on a Sunday because of his faith, and became this, not the star, but the subject of Chariots of Fire, that film. It said in the film, I don't know if he actually said this, but God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Eric Liddell was using his work, his ability to run and what he did as a job to worship God, to bring him pleasure. So, how can we be pleasing God? Maybe you felt before in your day-to-day work that you have felt God's pleasure. Maybe you've done things that you know have made him smile, but how can we be doing that more and more? I'm going to suggest a few things. And if any of them stand out to you, we're going to take a bit of time to reflect on them later and sort of apply them in your own situation. So firstly, in Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 17, God, speaking through Isaiah, says this: learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. What I see when I read that and I apply it to work is that how we work matters. And now I'm not going to go into too much detail on this because Rachel next week is going to be talking about the values that we have as we work. And I don't want to tread on her toes. But we see throughout the prophets and through Jesus himself, the criticism of the religious people, those people that were seen to be pleasing God, but actually were doing anything but that. And why was that? It's because they weren't seeking justice. They weren't doing their work in a way that was merciful, that loved others. Does that mean that we all need to quit our jobs, become lawyers or police officers or charity workers? Well, no, I don't think it does. I think it means advocating for that colleague that has been going for the promotion but keeps getting passed up because of their race or their gender. I think it means charging a fair price for what you do, not rinsing people for all that you can get from them. I think it means buying or selling environmentally friendly or ethically sourced products so that we can be good stewards of the world that God's given us and we can be loving to those who are sort of the poorest in our societies. That is what seeking justice looks like in our work. And it pleases God. Next, Jeremiah, again, speaking to Israel, God speaking through Jeremiah, when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I didn't just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices. Those are the kind of things that they would have in their church services. But I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. Obeying God's commands pleases God. It makes him smile when we do what he asks us to do. What does that mean for me and for you? Well, Jesus tells us to let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. So if I say that I'm going to have the report done by the end of the day, I do it. If I say that I'll turn up a specific time or a specific date to do the job, I'll be there. It's about following through, letting your yes be yes, meaning what you say, not being deceitful. It could look like loving your enemies, maybe the competitor, maybe the rival who's going for the same promotion as you. It might be that difficult parent at the school gate that you just can't get along with, or the trustee that you just find stirs up dissension. It could be that colleague that always undermines your authority. How do we love them? And through loving them, we are obeying God's commands. I think, as we read through the Bible, as we read Jesus' teachings, we see so many commands, and we're not always going to get them right. But as we do obey God, we please him. Next. There's a bit of context around this because it's a little bit out there. But in Genesis, we see God creates trees that are firstly pleasing to the eye and then good for food. We see here in Exodus, Bezalel, this master craftsman who can do amazing things with gold, silver, bronze, who worked to create the most beautiful tent of meeting where God met with his people in the wilderness. We read in Matthew of a woman breaking a beautiful jar of perfume and pouring it over Jesus. And the disciples say, why this waste? Why didn't you sell it? Why didn't you help people with it? And Jesus says, she's done a beautiful thing to me. And then in Revelation, in the city of God, we see walls of pure gold. We see jewels. We see beautiful pearl gates. God is pleased with beauty. And I think we can get stuck in a trap sometimes, and I've definitely found this, where we think that some jobs are more holy or more pleasing to God because they help people. Maybe they help heal people or teach people or help people in difficult times. And those are absolutely amazing. They are fulfilling God's commands. They're showing love to our neighbors. But sometimes we don't focus that actually artists, musicians, cake decorators, photographers, architects, the list could go on, of people who create beautiful things. And that matters to God. God loves it. It pleases him. And I think that point about things lasting into eternity can be really relevant for you if that's your job. You know, who knows whether the song that you're writing might be used in eternity to praise God? Who knows if the painting that you paint to the glory of God will be in the heavenly gallery. So I just wanted to encourage you, if you are somebody who's creating beautiful things, keep going because it's pleasing to God. Next, we read in Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ that you're serving. I read this and it challenges me because it's saying you need to put in all your effort, maximum effort, because you're not working for your human bosses. You're working for the Lord. And what I was saying earlier about the debt of love that we have for God, for what he's done for us, well, doesn't it require us to give as much as we can? The cool thing about this verse, though, is it's not a look busy, Jesus is coming kind of fear thing. No, we see there, right in the middle of it, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. We don't work for the Lord because we're afraid of him. We work for the Lord because we know he'll reward us for the good things that we do. And as we do that, the way that we work can impact other people. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says this to his disciples. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we work, as we put in the most effort that we can, as we work for God, it can shine out to other people. They can see the work that we do and be encouraged. They can see God at work as we work. Now, maybe you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Have a think about those Christians that you know in the workplace. Do you see a difference in them? And if you are a Christian, isn't that a challenge? That people could see God through us. So how am I working? But it's not just about working for God. We also want to work with God. See, God doesn't just give us a task and then sit on his heavenly throne, kick his feet back, twiddle his thumbs. No, God is with us. Jesus, after giving his disciples the commission to go and make disciples and to baptize and to teach, doesn't say, okay, off you go now. No. He says, surely I am with you always. God is a good father and he wants to partner with us as we go through everything, as we work with him. What's that look like? It means being aware of his presence as we work. That might be saying thank you when things have gone well. Maybe the baby's gone down to sleep. Thank you. Maybe the meeting, the presentation that you had to give went well. Thank you, God. Maybe you got the mark back from the exam and it went better than you thought. Thank you, God. It could be those arrow prayers, those quick, please help prayers, or those please help me to see this difficult client differently prayers. Or it might be marveling as you go into a garden to weed it, marveling at the wonder of God's creation, or just showing wonder of the child's imagination of the picture that they've drawn. All of those ways are little habits that as we keep practicing them, as we keep going, we can bring God more and more into our work. We can work alongside him and be more aware of him every day. So I've just given a few ideas of how we can please God by seeking justice, looking to do what we do with a mind for those around us. Pleasing God by obeying God's commands, reading the Bible, seeing what he's asked us to do and then doing it. We can please God by creating beauty and by working for him, maximum effort, but also with him, being aware of his presence with us at all times. We're going to respond now. I'm going to invite the Nir and the band up. We'll sing one more song, I think. We'll take this moment of quiet. Maybe God has put his finger on something that you find difficult in those. Maybe you feel like you're not doing what you should be doing amongst those sort of ideas. Maybe there's something that you do in your day-to-day work that you think, oh, actually, maybe that isn't pleasing to God. God doesn't condemn you, but he does convict you. So now might be that time to change. Or maybe God is encouraging you. You find it really difficult in your workplace, but you are doing these things and you feel like God is pleasing you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Keep going, even though it's difficult. Just have a think through your context, your work. Do any of those speak to you? Yeah, we'll sing a song together just to wrap up the service. If you want any more resources, I'd encourage you to go to highgrove.church/thistimetomorrow. It's got loads of great books and podcasts, videos that you can watch more on this subject. Being part of a small group is a great way to be able to talk and pray through these things in a smaller group as well. But yeah, as we sing together, there'll be a prayer ministry team at the back who would love to pray a blessing, whether that's on your work, whether that's on anything else going on in your life, or just turn to the person next to you and ask them to pray. But I'll hand over to Nir and the band now.